I want to read the Word of God tonight from the Old Testament, 2 Samuel, and chapter 19, and we're going to read from verse 24. These events come after the rebellion of Absalom and then his defeat, and David is making his way back to Jerusalem. He had to leave Jerusalem because of the conspiracy that was led by his son Absalom, but his armies had defeated Absalom, and David is making his way back to Jerusalem, and there's some details that are given to us of individuals that he met. And we're going to read from verse 24. 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest thou not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon, and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he has slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said that thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house. And Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogelim, and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, Come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live, that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern good and evil? Can my servant taste what I eat and what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense at me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Kimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Kimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Kimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. Amen. We'll end there, and know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word tonight to each one of our hearts for his name's sake. In verse 34, there's a question that this man Barzillai addresses to David that we want to take up and look at this evening. Verse 34, the whole verse reads, And Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live, that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? And there's those words just at the start of that question, How long have I to live? That's what we want to dwell upon. Let's bow in prayer, ask the Lord for his help this evening. Our God and Father, we pray that as we come to thy word and meditate upon these things, that thou wilt speak to us. O Lord, we're in this place tonight with that very desire and purpose, that we might think on other things just than on the things of time and sense. And we pray, Lord, that our thoughts will be directed toward eternity, and what lies beyond this world, and the preparation that is needed for us to make. And we pray that as we think of this question and seek to look at it in the light of the Word of God, Thou will be pleased tonight to speak to every heart, particularly those that are unready, unprepared, unsaved. We pray that tonight they might realize the need to be in time and to come and trust the Savior and to turn to Him. Have mercy upon us, we pray. Grant us help from heaven. Grant us the blessing of the Holy Spirit now. Lord, I need help to preach. We all need help to hear and to receive Thy Word. And may we know the ministry of the Holy Ghost just now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. These are the words of this man, Barzillai. He's a Gileadite. He's a friend of David. This man was an immense help to David, a constant friend to him, when the king was compelled to leave Jerusalem because of that rebellion that was led by his son Absalom. And during that time of exile, this man Barzillai has faithfully served the king and attended to him. He's a man of great means, that is evident. And we're told that when David had to leave Jerusalem, had to travel down to the Jordan, cross over the Jordan onto the eastern side of it, that this man came out to meet him. Along with others, he wasn't the only one, but he certainly was one who came out to meet David and who willingly succored him with his own provision. And if you go back there to chapter 17 and verse 28 and 29, you will find some details about this very thing. 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 27 lists some of these people who came out to meet David, and the very last one right at the end of the verse is this man Barzillai the Gileadite from Rogelim. And then we're told what they brought. They brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentil and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. So this man had thoughts for David and evidently served David, acknowledged him as the rightful king in Israel, and now when he is exiled from Jerusalem, he's going to use his own means to sustain David when he is in the wilderness and sustain his household as well. And when David is returning, for that's what is now before us when we come to chapter 19, David is returning to Jerusalem. His armies have defeated Absalom's armies. Absalom himself has been killed. And David is making his journey back to Jerusalem, back to the royal city, back out of exile, back to reign over the land once again. And this man Barzillai comes down to meet him and to accompany him over the Jordan River. We're told that there in verse 31 of our Bible reading. Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. He's glad that King David has won the day. The one whom he has served has been triumphant and victorious, and he's only too happy to see the king taken over Jordan and all the people that are with him and all his household and all his goods, and they've helped to convey him over Jordan. And David is not unmindful of this, what this man has done. And David wants to reward him for his kindness and for his loyalty. And he suggests to this elderly man that he would come with David up to Jerusalem, that he would continue on the journey with David and come up to live in Jerusalem. And it's there David's intention to look after him, to provide for him, to give him an honoured place in Jerusalem because of the kindness that has been shown to him. But Barzillai turns down this request of King David. And he does so with these words that we want to look at tonight. How long have I to live? He asks. And the reasoning, the line of argument that Barzillai is taking is that he doesn't have long to live. He's an old man. It tells us there in verse 35, he's 80 years of age. And therefore, he thinks, I don't have long to live. and he declines David's kind invitation to come up to Jerusalem and to live there. He wants to stay in his own place. If we go down to verse 37, it says, "Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother." He wants to remain. And we want this evening to take those words and dwell upon them in the gospel tonight. How long have I to live? Because what Barzillai says here, and some details in the context here of these words, are very applicable. Bring to us some lessons that I want us to dwell upon this evening. The first thing I want you to consider here is the reality that Barzillai acknowledged in the question. You see, here is a man who is aware and who acknowledges his own mortality. He says, "I'm an old man. How long have I to live?" He's facing up to his own mortality. He realizes that he's not going to live forever. He's 80 years of age, quite an age for somebody at that time in Bible history. He has been long spared by the Lord. He has lived a good life at this particular time. And he's conscious of that. He's conscious of his own mortality. He's conscious that he will not have long to live in this world. He goes on there to say in verse 35, just to make some reference about how conscious he is of his declining physical and mental powers and abilities. Because if you look there at verse 35 of the chapter, he acknowledges the decline of mental powers. He says, "Can I discern between good and evil?" And here he's referring to just the decline of mental powers, the ability to think and the ability to reason. It's not as if he's wavering in his thought about what is good and what is evil. No, he's acknowledging that his mental ability is not what it once was. It's declining as the years advance. They're declining. Then he talks about the ability to taste is not what it once was. "Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink?" Again, he's conscious of this. He's aware that this decline has been taking place in his own life, in his own body. He's conscious that there's just not the same ability to taste as once there was. All these things are bearing witness to this reality. Then he speaks about the decline in his ability to physically hear. "Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women?" Evidently there was a time when this thrilled his heart. He's evidently a man who knows the Lord in that sense. Where else would there have been singing men and singing women but in the worship of the Lord? And here's a man who is conscious of this and has listened to this and it has delighted his heart, and as time goes by he acknowledges that there's not the same ability to hear the voice of singing men and singing women, those choirs that had sung in among the people of God, maybe even sung on some of the occasions of the feasts and maybe some of the national seasons of rejoicing that there were during David's lifetime. But he's aware that these things, and he's telling David all of these things. There's one last one there as well, because he senses his growing dependence upon others more and more. He says, "Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king?" And all of these things are coming to this man's thought. As David says, "Barzillai, come with me. Come to Jerusalem. You've shown kindness to me. Now I want to reward you with kindness." And what an honour it would have been to have been invited to come up to live in the city of Jerusalem, the royal city, to go back with David as he's returning from exile, and all the welcoming that he would have received and the joy and gladness there would have been among his people. And yet Barzillai is conscious, "I mightn't even see Jerusalem. I mightn't even get to that place because of these things that are coming before him." And he's conscious of this reality. And that's a reality that we all need to be conscious of. A few chapters back here in 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 14, you have the words of a woman to David, the woman of Tekoa, who came to speak to David about a matter. And she made interesting comments in verse 14, 2 Samuel 14 and verse 14. She said, "For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled for him. For we must needs die." She was conscious of that. We must needs die. And that's the reality that Barzillai is conscious of. He must needs die. That's what he is aware of, and he senses that in his own being, that there is this decline that is taking place in his life, that he's on that march down the valley. And how important it is that we realise that death is sure. That we realise why death is sure. Death is sure because of sin. That's why there's death in the world. That's why we die. That's why we're mortal creatures. It's because we are sinners. If we were not sinners, we would live forever. But there is not a human being who will live forever. Every one of us have in us the principle of death. There will be those that will be spared actual physical death because the Lord come. There will be a generation in that sense. But everybody else is going to face death. We're going to go down the valley. Because we are mortal creatures. Because we are sinners. There is sin in us. And because of that, we are mortal creatures. We must needs die. And because of that, there are certain things then that we need to face up to. And may the Lord indeed give us that awareness of this reality. Not something that we blot out. How many there are tonight that do that? Try to blot it out from their thoughts. Try never to think about it. What a foolish thing. One of the few certainties in life. And yet many tonight blot it out and don't want to think about it. They'd rather dream about something that's never sure, never certain, that never will come to pass in their life. They'd rather dream about something than face up to the reality that we must needs die. Well, Barzillai can teach us something. Because here's a man who faces up to this and is aware of this reality. The second thing I want you to consider here is a biblical answer to his question. Because he asks this question, how long have I to live? Now, it's a rhetorical question in a sense. He's saying this to David, and David will know and realise something of the age of the man. He will understand what Barzillai is saying, that he's an old man, and therefore he's declining the offer to go up to Jerusalem and be associated with the king. He's happy just to remain where he is, to go back to his own people in his own home city in Regellum, which is on the eastern side of the River Jordan. Barzillai is uttering these words, maybe as much as a statement. They say it's a rhetorical question. It doesn't really need an answer. But if we do stop for a moment and think a little bit further, there are some things that the Scripture emphasises by way of an answer to this question. We can answer this question in the light of the Scripture. And I want to suggest four simple things tonight that answer this question. How long have I to live? How long have any of us to live? Well, there's four things that we can say. First of all, we can say, we don't have long to live. Secondly, we can say we don't know how long we will live. Thirdly, we are not sure just when the day of our death will come. And fourthly, we can say here's something we can never avoid. An appointment we can never avoid. We have not long to live. That's evident in Barzillai's thinking. He's thinking, I don't have long to live. I mightn't even see Jerusalem. However long it was going to take David to continue on that journey. Well, it wouldn't necessarily be something they would cover in a day. There's a king and his household and all his attendants that are travelling, and there's welcoming along the way those that have supported him in exile. So it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be there in a day. It might have been, but whatever the thinking is, this man is aware, I don't have long to live. And how true that is for any of us tonight. We don't know this world. Our lives are but as a vapour. We are told in the Scriptures, James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And how short is the existence of a vapour? You think of the steam that comes out of the kettle when it's boiling. It appears for a little time and then vanishes. As the kettle reaches boiling point and the water is, the switch clicks in and knocks off, and there's that steam that comes out of the kettle, how soon it disappears into the atmosphere. It's still there, but you can't see it. And there's that thought, you see, about our lives. It's short, it's as a vapour, it's only here for a little time. Oh, it continues on somewhere. It doesn't imply in the vapour that it ceases to exist, it just disappears from view. The moisture's still in the air, it's just that you don't see the vapour anymore. And so it is with our lives. We've only got a little time here. Oh, we're going somewhere and we'll continue to exist. But how short are our days here in this world? They're fleeting. They're fleeting. Job said that his days were swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Just how fast is a weaver's shuttle? If you think about the old loom, and if you either see any film footage or visit some of a museum where there might be a loom and the shuttle goes back and forward. It's back and forward. And Job says, my days are shorter than a weaver's shuttle. Shorter than that. Just like a flash as the weaver's shuttle goes back and forward. And every now and again it does that. And just how fast that action is taken. And Job says, my days are shorter than that. We do not have long. And if we want to answer the question, how long have I to live? Not very long, is the answer. Not very long, you see, in the light of eternity. Oh, life is brief at best, and in the light of eternity, it is certainly brief. When we consider the eons of eternity, never-ending eternity, that stretches away out before us, that we're going to live forever and ever, not in this world, but we're going to live in God's eternity, in heaven or in hell, then, compared to the length of eternity, how fleeting are our days in this world? How short are our days in this world? And to answer Barzillai's question, how long have I to live? Not very long. Not very long for any of us. Now, even if we were to see many years, if we were to see 80 years, as just to take the age that is here given for Barzillai, what is 80 years in the light of eternity? What's 80 years in this world? It goes past very quickly. And it's true, we do not have long to live. We can answer the question like that. Not long is the answer. How long have I to live? Then we can think as well, with regards to answering this question, how long have I to live? Well, we don't know. The answer has to be that we don't know. We're not privy to that information. No one knows the day of their death. No one is guaranteed a long life. No one is guaranteed tomorrow. Some live a few minutes in this world, some a few hours, some a few days, some a few weeks, some a few months, some a few years. Some maybe more than that. But as Isaac said to his sons, to Jacob and to Esau, Genesis 27 and verse 2, he says, I know not the day of my death. So the answer to the question is, we don't know. How long have we got to live? None of us can say how long. We have to say, we don't know. We don't know the day of our death. We don't know the day we will be called away from this world. What we do know is that the Scripture tells us not to boast of tomorrow. Not to presume upon tomorrow. Proverbs 27 verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You and I are not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not even guaranteed to see tonight out. How many people have got up today? Something like 60 people die in Northern Ireland every day, on average. How many of those 60 got up today never thinking that today was going to be their last day in this world? They never thought it. They never thought it. They got up in good health. Granted, there's those who are in ill health and will have passed away today, but there will be those who have got up in good health this morning. And by nightfall, they're not going to be here. They're going to be gone. The day is done. The time of their departure, how long are they to live? They didn't even realize that only less than a day. And the Scripture says, now don't boast of tomorrow. Don't presume upon seeing tomorrow. For none of us are guaranteed that. There's someone else who governs the day of our birth and governs the day of our death. It is the Lord. And there is a day set on the councils of the Most High for us to be born. And there is a day set on the councils of the Most High for us to die. And neither of us know, and we know neither of them. These things are hidden from us. And therefore, to answer the question honestly and scripturally before God, how long have I to live tonight? We have to say, well, we don't know. We don't know. Something else that we can say in answer to this question scripturally is that we are not sure. Because life is so uncertain. There are no guarantees. Let's go back a little bit in David's life to 1 Samuel 20. And these are the days even before he became king, when Saul was still on the throne. And Saul took dislike to David. The Lord had left Saul. And Saul realized that he was with David and not with him. And he became very jealous of David, he even sought to take his life. And in 1 Samuel 20, and well, we'll just read verse 3, it says, David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. That's how conscious David was. There's but a step between me and death. That's just how close to death we might be. How long are we to live? We could just be a step away from it. David is conscious of that. He's a young man. He's only a teenager here. In his late teens. It's just shortly after his defeat of Goliath, and the word that is used of David there as a youth is a word that implies he was just a teenager. So he's coming to the end of his teenage years here. And yet David acknowledges, even in those early years in his life, there's only a step between me and death. How long have I to live? David says, I might only have a step to go. No one knows what's around the corner. Because death comes unannounced. And more often than not, death comes unexpected. As someone said, the old must die, the young may die. Disease, accident, violence can usher us out into eternity in an instant. In an instant. Just a step, David says. So when we come to this question and seek to answer it scripturally, not answer it as how we think, answer it in the light of what we find in the Word of God, we can say, how long have I to live? I could just be a step away from death. That's how close it could be to me and to you as well. And one final thought here with regards to a scriptural answer to this question, how long have I to live? Well, here's something we can't avoid. It's absolutely certain. You can't delay the arrival of the pale horse. Over in the book of the Revelation, death was described as a pale horse, catching up upon an individual, overtaking that individual. And it's as if the rider on the pale horse had a scythe in his hand and he was just cutting down those individuals in death that he caught up upon. That picture is used as well in a slightly different way by Moses in the psalm that is attributed to him, Psalm 90, when he likens us to grass that is cut down. And again, there's a thought there of the scythe that just cuts across the grass and cuts the grass off. Here is something that's unavoidable. Here is something not only unavoidable, here is something we cannot postpone. Oh, there's many an individual who would love to postpone the day of their death. They'd love to put it back. They'd love to live another day, live another week, live another month, another year in the world. But you can't do that. None of us can avoid this appointment. Here is an appointment that we all must keep. We most certainly will keep this appointment. There is a day appointed for our death. We know not. But we will keep that appointment. And here's a man, Barzillai, who is conscious of these things. And here are answers to this question that are found in the scriptures. How long have I to live? That brings us to one final thing I want us to dwell upon tonight. You see, there's an obvious necessity that then is highlighted in this question. Not only the reality of it, not only the scriptural answer to it, but the obvious necessity here. Because if this is so, if all of these things that we have been saying are true, and they are, they're based upon the Word of God. This is real. We're going to meet death someday. We're not going to be avoided. And all of those other points that we have mentioned. Then there's a question that is asked. Another question in the Scripture that is asked. Peter asks it. In 2 Peter 3:11 he says, what manner of persons ought ye to be? In the light of these things that are taking place. Now, there in 2 Peter 3:11, he's talking about the end of the world as we know it. But there's a thought there of the end of things. And Peter, in 2 Peter 3:11, the whole verse reads, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? But you see, there is a necessity, there's an obvious necessity that Peter is bringing in there. If these things are so, if there's an end coming to all of these things, if the whole world is someday going to be dissolved, then there's a very obvious question. What are we going to do about this? What kind of response are we going to make to this? And if we bring that thought back to this question that we're looking at here tonight, how long have I to live? Well, surely there's an obvious necessity then. Then what are we going to do about this? As we're going to meet death, and death is sure, and death can be unexpected and so on, surely then there's something that we need to face up to. You see, this reality that Barzillai is aware of, that he's not going to live long, gives him a totally different perspective on life. It influences the decisions that he's going to make. The choice that he's going to make here is going to be influenced by this reality. David has told him, Barzillai, come up to Jerusalem. I look after you. I want to reward you for your kindness. But this man, because he's conscious that he's going to die, and he doesn't have long to live, it governs what he does. It governs how he acts. It governs the response that he's going to make, David. Then is that not an obvious spiritual lesson for us? The fact that we too are going to die and not be in this world forever, and we don't know just when the day of our death will be, does that not mean then we too ought to live and make choices and decisions conscious that we could meet death at any moment? We are not to live putting down roots in this world. We are not to live making plans to be here forever. We are to live conscious at any moment I can be called away from this world, called to leave it all behind. All the things I hold dear, I can be called to leave it all behind. How unlike that there was that man in the record in Luke 12:20, where the Lord called him a fool. It was the parable of the rich farmer, but it may well be that the Lord had somebody in mind. But it's told as a form of, well, there, Luke 12:20. But God said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" That man lived with no consciousness that he could be called away from all of those things in an instant. He had made his plans to stay for many years. The previous verses, he says to his soul, "Eat, drink, and be merry. You've got things laid up for many years to come." Didn't realize that very night his soul would be required of him. That's folly. That's what the Lord says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." It's the height of folly to live like that. Putting down roots, thinking we'll be here forever. Never conscious, never facing up to the reality that in a moment we could be taken away from this world. You see, all these things being so, then we need to prepare for the life that lies beyond death. We need to prepare for eternity. Where are we going? I mentioned a moment or two ago about the vapour. The vapour still exists. It's not seen, but it still exists. The moisture is still there in the air, unseen by the human eye, but still it exists. And how like our souls that is. Oh, the soul is taken away from this world, but it still exists. It still exists. And therefore we need to prepare. Where is it going? Where is it going? As Job made that observation in the book takes his name. It says, Job 14 and verse 14, "If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." Will a man live again? Oh, he most certainly will live. He's going to live on. He's going to come again. Death is not the end. Those other verses as well, he talks about giving up the ghost, and then he asks that question, where is he? Verse 10, Job 14, verse 10, "Man dieth, wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost," and where is he? And Job's not talking about his body, for he's already made reference to his body. He says, "Man dieth and wasteth away." He's talking about his body, buried in the grave, going back to the dust from whence it came. We know where his body is, Job says, but where is he? And where is he in reality? Where's his soul? And where will our soul be in eternity? The moment we die like that, where will our soul be? We must prepare. It means also that we must prepare quickly. We must act quickly. Because death can arrive so suddenly, so unexpectedly, we must prepare now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. It's interesting to observe through the scriptures that there are no promises about being saved tomorrow. You will not find one promise in all the Bible about getting saved tomorrow. Not one. There's nowhere in all the scriptures you could turn up to and say, there's a promise where God says he'll save you tomorrow. There's not one. But you will find many references in the scriptures, many statements where the Lord tells you, now is the time to get right with God. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. There are no guarantees for tomorrow. There is a guarantee for here and now. If you seek the Lord now and call upon him. And why not? Why would the scriptures give you promises for something that might never happen? Why would the scriptures ever speak about getting saved tomorrow when you or I might never see tomorrow? And God's word is very accurate and consistent. And it tells us there's no guarantee for tomorrow, therefore the need is to be saved today. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today, Paul says, I say today. He emphasizes it there in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4. He repeats that statement three times. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And today is the day to be saved. This moment, this hour, is the hour to be saved. We must act quickly. We are not to presume. When the breath of God is given to us and the mental ability to understand these things is with us, we're to press into the kingdom. Remember what Barzillai said? He talked about the decline in mental ability. And as we know, that's all too obvious in people. They may be alive in this world, but their ability to reason and think is gone. Their ability to reason and think is gone. They don't have that mental ability because of illness and disease that is set in. They might be physically alive, but they cannot reason these things out. And therefore, if the Lord spares us and gives us this hour, this moment now, is this not the hour to be saved? Is this not the hour to come to Christ? Is this not the hour to heed and think about this question, how long have I to live? And scripturally, we have to answer the question, we don't know, we could just be a step away from death. Therefore, if all this is true, and it is, then surely now is the time to get right with God. Surely now is the time to come to Christ. Barzillai did not live unto himself. He lived conscious of this reality. He also lived with regard for King David, who was the Lord's anointed. And that's what you and I are to do, you see. We are to live with some regard for the one who, even in a greater sense, is the Lord's anointed. Our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we cannot live with any regard for him until we come to know him as Saviour. Barzillai gave David honour, acknowledged him as his king in an earthly sense, and went to great lengths to show his loyalty. And David wanted to reward that loyalty, because at the time there were few who were standing with David. And David wanted to show his appreciation for the loyalty that Barzillai showed him. But this man teaches us a lesson that you and I are to have regard for God's greater anointed. The one who came from heaven, the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The one who demands our loyalty, the one who demands our soul, the one who commands us to come and believe the gospel, to repent and trust him as Saviour and enthrone him as King of our lives. Now how will we address this question tonight? How long have I to live? Surely there is no other option other than come to Christ this very night. If you're not saved in this meeting tonight, you have no other option. You are presuming. You are boasting of tomorrow. The very things the Scripture warns you not to do if you go out tonight unconverted, unsaved. And you go on tonight and put your head on the pillow at home tonight without coming to Christ. You are presuming. You are boasting about tomorrow. You're presuming you'll see the light of another day. And as we have noticed tonight in the Scriptures, there's no guarantee to that. May you come to Christ. How long have I to live? May the Lord write that question and its truth upon our hearts tonight for his name's sake. Let's bow in prayer. If the Lord is speaking to you tonight, and I trust he is, then come and do something about it. Come to Christ. Come and be saved tonight. Wait behind. Say to us at the door, you want to speak to us? We'll only be too happy to point you to the Lord and show you how you can be saved. But don't go away presuming that tomorrow you'll see the light of that day.